Blog Talk Radio.
Is computer buffering? What's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Garden, live on the off-ramp, October 13th, 2022. Middle of October. Ready for Halloween. Welcome to the off-ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. It's a show me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, and just popping in these streets. See what's going on in your hood, my hood, all the hoods across the world. Not really across the world. It's really just the East Coast, North and South. Sometimes the South. Sometimes we got the people from the West Coast checking. It just depends. But it really ranges just from New York to Alabama. So it's a, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty far span. But anyway, welcome to the off-ramp show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. I already said that. What do I want to tell you? Man, welcome to October, man. The weather's weird. 1 minute it's hot, 1 minute it's cold. You know, I was just in the mountains last night. Like 40 fucking degrees. Come back home today, it's like 75. It's weird, man. And it's only like a three-hour difference. But, you know, what can you do, man? If you want to hit us up, feel free, 929-477-3975, to get us up on all the socials. Got a fun show for y'all tonight. A lot to discuss, a lot to catch up on. So we'll see where it leads us. Got my wonderful, wonderful wife, DJ C. Sire. DJ C. Sire, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
Hey, off-ramp.
Got a lot to discuss with y'all tonight. My son socked another kid in the face. So frustrating having kids. I think for the first time I'm going to have to step down as a coach. I just can't take the organization that I'm in right now. It's just so such bad. It's just like it's a passive aggressive, too much passive aggressiveness. So I think I'm going to have to quit coaching. It's probably just better for the kids.
Quit coaching?
Yeah. I actually want my kid to quit, but he don't want to quit. I was trying to convince my kid, hey, we can just quit. And everything rang in my head was like, you can't be no quitter. You can't be no, yeah, I think you're telling him to quit. Yeah.
How long is the season?
We only got 3 weeks left.
Oh,
I know.
We've been hanging there for 3 weeks.
I know, but it's just getting worse. Just getting worse. Just bad footwork, bad technique, bad play calling, just an emotional coach, just extremely negative. And it's just like, man, you know, just ready to call it a day. Like, there's a good chance I don't take him to pictures because I don't even want him to remember this thing. And I hate being like that, but I, that's why we ain't go to last year's team picture. Don't even think about taking a picture with that team. I got my brother Blair in the building. Blair, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm great. Blessed and highly favored. I didn't know you was out there raising a young Draymond Green. I mean, I need you to do better, man. I need you to do better, man. We supposed to be raising some Martin Luther Kings out there, not no Malcolm X's.
My kid, yo. And it's one of these things is like, how much do you believe your kid versus, like, you know, when your kid tells you a story, like, you know, there's some truth in there, But, you know, he's probably not telling the 100% truth. I feel like with my kid, anytime he gets in a fight, he's telling, like, the 100% truth. But there's still some sauce that he forgot to tell me. So, apparently, he's playing basketball on the court at school. The story he tells me is that he goes for a rebound, and a kid pushes him in the back. And when he turned to see who pushed him in the back, the kid turns around and smiles and laughs. So my kid goes up, pushes him, and says, "Don't you push me." Then my kid says that the kid turned, the kid fell back, and then ran at him and threw a punch. He said, "Dad, it was so slow. I just dodged it, and I punched him in the face." And then the kid ran and told the teacher. So I'm like, is he wrong? I'm like, yo, were you just – but, like, my son can be an annoying on the basketball court. He plays a lot with a lot of competitive kids. They get the pushing and shoving. But he said he was going for a rebound, so it doesn't make sense. So then the teacher called. I got to let my wife hear this voicemail. Because I call – when the teacher didn't see it. After Julius punched the kid in the face, the kid went and told the teacher. And then my dumbass kid, I love him. So the kid told the teacher that my son pushed him. So I think the teacher, because he didn't see it, was just going to let it go as the kid's just roughhousing on the court. So he goes up to Julius and was like, "Hey, why'd you push him?" Julius said, "Because he pushed me first, and then he swung a fist at me, so I punched him in the face." And I think at that point, the teacher said, "All fists were thrown. Now I got to go to the guidance counselor." I think if he had just said, "Because he pushed me first," they would have been, and when they both went back and forth, nah, the teacher would have just said, "Whatever, go about your business." But I think my kid snitched on himself. And because he said he punched the kid in the face, now I think he's facing a suspension.
Really?
And they're reviewing it. They're reviewing to see if any of the kids get suspended. Since the kid's white, I'm already preparing to use my black card. Because if they try to suspend my kid, but don't, like if they suspend both kids, I'm okay with it. But if they suspend my kid and not suspend him, then I got pulled the only doing it because my kid's black and that kid's white. Shout out to all my white friends out there. I got a black card. I got to use it. I didn't get reparations. You got to let me have this one. So I wouldn't call him Draymond Green, but, you know, kind of right. Yeah, you put your hands on somebody, you get socked. So, you know.
I don't know if I agree you're going to get a chance to use the race card on this one. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. But more power to you, man. Pull it out if you got to.
Say, you don't think I need to use it, or you don't think I should use it, or you just don't think it'll work?
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think this one's going to fly. This is a stretch to get to the race card.
Oh, no. It'll easily work. I've already framed it in my head. It's definitely going to work. I mean, if...
But your son already admitted to it.
No, but what I'm saying is...
He already admitted.
You got to listen, man. If no teacher saw it, and they're gathering witness statements from students. And I already talked to two kids in his class because he's best friends and I know the parents. They said no one else saw it because even the other kids that ran down the court. So no parent, no teacher saw it. None of the other kids saw it. If that kid said he pushed my kid, right, and my kid said he pushed him back, and then my kid said he swung at him and hit him, and my kid said he hit him back, if you're taking that story as face value, then both kids should get suspended. If you're taking the other kid's story of, oh, we just pushed each other, then my kid shouldn't get suspended. So you can't tell me that you're going to suspend one and not the other if no adult saw it and you're only going by the kid's stories. Now, I don't know what the witnesses of the kids are going to say. I have to have that discussion. But, you know, I was like, my race car is in the bag.
See, here's where I think your ability to use the race car is gonna fall a little short. Because if you take race out of it, you have one person who admitted to throwing a punch and the other person who hasn't, who has admitted, like, yo, I did something wrong, but I ain't do that. And this person admitted, like, yo, I swung, I connected, I punched him in his face. Hey, it's going to be hard. Like, oh, he said he punched him in the face. He ain't say he punched in the body or threw a punch. He said he pushed. He said he punched.
No, that's not what he said. He said he pushed. My son got pushed in the back. This is what my story says. My son said he got pushed, so he pushed the kid back. The kid swung and hit him, so he punched him in the face back. When I say swung and hit him, like he swung a fist, and he tried to punch my kid in the face, but my kid ducked. So
yeah, so
you're taking, if you're saying that my kid is admitting to throwing the punch and you're believing him, then you also must believe that that kid swung at my kid as well. If that other, if you believe that other kid's story, he never mentioned my kid swinging that fist at all. So if you're believing the other kid's story, then you're saying that no fist was wrong. If you're combining the two stories, the one kid is probably just smarter to know that he shouldn't be throwing fists, and you take him my account of my kid, who's probably just telling the truth of what happened.
Or you could just take into account what each person admitted to doing.
Nah, yo, that's just now I'm playing a race car. Now you're taking the white kid's story over the white.
Real
easy for me.
I don't know. Hopefully it don't come to that, man. I don't know if that one's gonna work.
They better not suspend your child. Why? Because he's defending himself?
Right.
But they have a zero tolerance policy. What do you do with somebody has a zero tolerance policy? No matter what. Oh, I got my man New York in the building. New York, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing good. Just quote the middle of the conversation. I don't know what's going on. Somebody fighting in the school or something?
Yeah, man, your little nephew, yo. I hear tussling, yo. Think he,
Oh, what?
Think he made...
He got the squabbles?
Yeah, yo, apparently a kid swung at him and punched him, so he punched him in the face. But nobody saw it, but my kid was the kid who admitted it to the teacher. So I got, it's a bad thing about teaching kids how to tell the truth. But, I mean, I appreciate him for being real with me, because, look, he ain't going to get in trouble for being honest.
No, it's another way to put, you know, something in someone's file and trying to label
it
as a bad kid.
Your boy's a great athlete. They don't care about us.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you. No, when it's time, all he needs to know. All he needs to know is how to sign an NFL contract. Even though the team is on now, treats him like he's not a great athlete. But he is. Man, it's tough to find. Look, I have a question, and this can delve into a serious topic. It can or it can't. I'm going to take the stance that emotional men aren't good for society. I know it's sexist.
Let's not talk about emotions again. We already talked about this last week. I think we're dragging it out.
Did we talk about this? What were we talking about this last week?
It was touched on.
Kanye?
It wasn't the specific.
Because Kanye is my example. Okay. Kanye and my kids are football.
Why can't you give some good examples?
Good example. I don't think emotional is better gift in society. Tell me how I'm wrong, DJ. If I just give you that blanket statement, emotional men are not good for society, tell me why I'm wrong.
I think it's more nuanced than just calling someone emotional. I don't quite understand that. You mean showing emotions, or someone who is upset and saying they're upset, someone who accepts. I don't really know what that means in terms of, I mean, everyone is emotional.
Like, if you're upset about something, and you don't talk about it, but you just continually be passive aggressive for weeks and weeks and weeks. I scratched my thing on my mom's damn counter.
Hey, that was bad. That's passive aggressive. That has nothing to have.
That's an emotion.
No.
Aggressiveness is not an emotion?
No, being aggressive. No, but the term passive aggressive, if you're saying that you are upset at something, but you, instead of telling someone directly how you feel about it, you just overtly do things to make yourself known instead of directly, you know, talking about it, because you don't want to actually say anything. That's being passive aggressive.
And that's emotion.
But I'm having to do with Kanye. Kanye's not passive aggressive. He's crazy.
He's aggressive aggressive?
Yeah, I don't know. He's and I hate saying, I don't hate saying crazy, but the
crazy.
The communities in which I belong to don't like
you. Don't like you saying it, see? You people.
But I think that, I mean, we can have legitimate, you can have a legitimate disease, you know. You can be legitimately have that, but still be crazy. There's some
sort of
crazy acting.
I know. I know I'd be out on the list. You don't agree. You think emotional men are good for society?
I don't know the angle. I would like to know the angle before I answer the question. Because there's an angle.
Blair, do you think emotional men are good for society?
I'm going to have to echo what DJ C. Cyrus said. It's like, I don't really know what you mean by emotion. Are you saying like they move off emotion, like emotion determines how they act? Or like,
yes.
I mean, I really need to know what you mean by emotional men. It's like, does everything get them in their feelings? But, oh, so you mean like emotions determine how they act?
Yes.
No, I don't think that's good for. I don't think that's good for anybody, men or women. I mean, I think there's some need to it, but I think people need to think things out and not just act off emotion. I don't think that's good for anybody.
It's I get mad.
No,
I miss you, honey. Oh, I'm sorry. I ain't seen my wife in 24 hours. Hold on, let New York get out of here real quick, and I'll let you get in. It's a good discussion. Because I'm trying not to be ignorant about it, but I'm dealing with too many emotions with my kids' 9-year-old football team, and it's just ridiculous. And I just realized that emotional men aren't good for society. New York, do you think emotional men are good for society?
I think having emotion and knowing how to deal with it, having emotion, being emotional, you know what I mean, I think that's fine in itself. But once you react off the emotion and don't have, like, no, like, you know what I mean, no, like, chill time, no period to self-reflect before you act on things, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. If you acting out of pure emotion like that, nah. That's bad for society. Definitely bad for society.
I mean, that's what I mean by emotional. We all have emotions. We're all happy. We're all sad. Look, I'm frustrated as hell with my kids' football team. But I'm not going to sit there and, you know, like, downgrade and, you know what I mean, and be all mad. Like, I'm going
to –
you think I'm lying? Like, I get silent. I just don't say anything.
That's still them being emotional.
How?
That's your emotional response. Outing.
I don't think that's
corner,
I just
not
don't
being think. Involved, saying since it's not, you know, they're
because
acting ridiculous, so I'm not going to interact.
Well, yeah, because they're doing stuff wrong, and I know it, and I can't be a part of that. I don't think that's being emotional. I think that's removing myself from the situation.
But
that me being emotional?
And then someone be like, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Is
yeah,
because
I'm fine. I'm just not going to be a part of terrible coaching.
I mean, it's
I was
well,
way too
that's,
good.
That's passive aggressive. You can say, I'm sorry, I don't want to be a part of this. It's terrible.
but then if I quit coaching,
no,
then I'm a
quitter.
No,
you just have to say
but
that.
See, I don't
What's
think...
wrong? This is terrible coaching. I just sit over
but
here.
See, if I say that, then that leads to
you
a whole
like
bigger discussion that I don't want to have
because
it's 8-year-old kids. You can have a terrible coach at 8-year-old, and
but
I just won't have my kid around you anymore.
This
like,
is
it's
what
okay.
I'm saying. If these men knew how to deal with emotions, it wouldn't come out passive aggressive. He would be able to explain what is upsetting
about
what's going on.
But he's upset. I'm not upset. I'm fine.
Well,
I just don't feel like
it's not about being upset about he. It's not really being upset. He's frustrated with not being a good coach.
I don't
and
think
he's
he
not,
realizes he's not a good coach.
Well,
I think
he,
everybody else realizes.
Well, that's true. But that doesn't have anything to do with emotions. He's not.
You know what
he's
he told
just
me?
He's not self-aware.
Okay. Here's a perfect
his awareness
example.
Is awful.
Here's a perfect example. The other day we're having a conversation because it's been weird for the last, like, week because our team has a whole lot of talent, and in the first 2 weeks they were winning pretty good, And then the last 2 weeks they look bad, and he doesn't understand why. And, like, I was trying to explain to him, well, you know, it's personnel, it's play calling, it's a bunch of things. And he took it as I'm attacking him. I'm like, no, just what, like, if you're saying I don't know what's wrong, I'm like, all right, well, this is what I think. Like, it's not attacking you, it's everything. So he said, so, like, he was getting all upset, and I'm like, yo, I'm not having this conversation. He said, like, you want to know what's wrong. And at one point he said, I got you questioning my play call. And I said, whoa, I didn't say anything. I haven't said anything up until just right now. He's like, well, I feel it when I'm on the field that, you know, you guys are questioning my plays. And I was like, I haven't said anything. He's like, well, I can feel it. And I knew right then and there, emotional men aren't good for society. Like, if that's what you're doing, then
I mean, you don't have to say anything to question the play call. I'm thinking about, it was a Ravens thing, and they said the same thing about Ray Lewis. They're like, he's questioning every call. We said then, someone tell Ray he can't do that, because when the guys see him not buying into the play, it's going to, I don't know, whatever they said, it's going to trickle down. We need him to buy into the play call. And this was a defensive coordinator in the booth. He was talking to someone down on the field, and so the person down on the field went and talked to Ray Lewis. He's like, you know, they call the play, I ain't doing it. He's like, yeah, but your body language. Like, he can see that every time a play comes in that you put your head down or you look around like, yo, this ain't the right call. If he see that up in the booth, everyone in the huddle see you doing that too. So it's not just not saying anything. It's the body language probably.
The NFL. Yes, I do put my head down because it's a lot of bad calls. But I'm all the way down the other side of the field. I'm down the field filming. So, like, I'm not next to the team. So when I hear the play call come in, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. When I see what kids he's putting where, I'm like, oh, that's terrible. But I'm not around the team.
You're not hiding it, baby.
But if you have a problem with that, because I don't think I do that, but I know I probably do it. If he has a problem, why come he just doesn't tell me?
Why don't you just tell him?
Because I don't have a problem. Well, I don't care.
Well, no. It's not. You do care.
No, I don't. He's upset with me. I know he's terrible. I know he's not going to change. I'm just waiting for the season.
What you said, I think your question was, like, yeah, there's a lot of things I would not do.
But I don't question his play call. I let his terrible calls go.
No, it is questioning.
No, it's not. I'm letting it go.
Why don't you do something better or talk to somebody?
Because I know he's terrible and he can't help it.
You're not accepting.
I am. I understand what you're saying. Look, if this was a high school team, then yes, we would have to have a discussion, because I know my body language would really not show anything good. I know it, right? Mm-hmm. But this is 9-year-old football, and he's teaching these kids terrible techniques.
You should tell him that.
I tried. It didn't work. So I already knew early that it wasn't going to be a collaborative coaching effort, right? But because it's 9, 10-year-olds, like, I don't have to worry about, like, this isn't a job. Like, this isn't, like, something that I have to make work. So I'm like, all right. I tried a couple times. I see that he's one of the people who don't listen to nothing. Like, you know, anytime you say, hey, you should try this, he's like, no, because, like, it's always one of those. So I've already chalked up the season. I've already chalked it up. Like, I sent to my kid that we shouldn't play in the football game this weekend because we're going back home to the Eagles game. And I'm like, oh, we can leave early and go see family. Like, we don't have to go play football. But my kid loves football so much, he wants to play. So we're going to stay and play the game anyway. But I just
So wait,
like,
hold on. I don't feel like you said anything that's making him look like he's moving off emotion other than y'all conversation. He ain't doing nothing about it. Like, y'all talked, and he said, I feel you. Now, it sounds like him using question, it might not be the right word, if you're not openly questioning his play calling. But
no, today,
if he said, I feel you questioning my play calling, that's not really being emotional. He's telling you, hey, I feel it. I see what you're doing. Like, has that changed?
No, today,
and, like, has he done anything about it?
No, today came to a whole emotional threshold. Like, that's how I knew this was a problem, which I didn't realize before, because we had this discussion last week, or no, we had this discussion on Monday, but like, him and the other coach were having this discussion. And he said, Jay, do you have any insight? And he's like, really, he's a really negative person. And I was like, yeah, I just think we need to be more positive towards the kids. And he was like, well, I have a whole lot of comments about the other stuff, but it's 9-year-old football. Who cares? Let's just try to be positive. Because no one cares. So I was like, let's just be more positive for the kids. So I didn't go to the practice last night because I had to go out of town for work. So I didn't go to practice. So tonight I get there. Well, the other coach texted me and was like, because I texted the other coach and was like, yo, so how was practice last night? I meant to ask you, was it more positive? And he was like, I mean, it was all right. He was like, there's still some tension, but I'm going to have to talk to you about it. And I was like, what could have happened? I wasn't even there. And he was like, well, it's just some things that he's still upset about. I was like, upset with you or upset with me? Because him and the other coach were going at it the other night. And I was just like, it's one of those things, again, where I told you earlier, I knew he was going to be a terrible coach early on, so I'd already chalked it up mentally. So I don't feel the need to argue with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's not going to help. Like, I'll argue with Blur, you, New York, because I feel like even in the argument, like, you guys will listen to me. I'll listen to you. We respect each other's opinion. This guy don't care about what nobody says.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point in arguing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tonight it came to a head because, you know, like when I got out there, I was like, what's up, coach? And he kind of didn't say nothing. I think he said what's up, but he kind of really didn't say nothing. But I was playing with the kids, throwing the ball around. So, you know, we kind of broke, and he took like a certain set of kids to the side and started teaching them how to block with their elbows. And nobody's done that since 1979. Like, Blur, this is what I'm dealing with. Like, he's making them do the chicken wing block. And I'm like, no one coaches that anymore. Like, you're allowed to use your hands. You just got to stay inside. And he was like, well, this is how we're going to teach down blocks in the wing tee. So I just said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just said, okay. I'm just like, all right, you know.
It wasn't just okay.
I mean, I probably rolled my eyes. Like, this is going to be terrible. Because whenever the kids go anywhere else, they're going to be like, they're going to put the chicken wing up to block somebody, and they're going to get laughed at. They're going to get laughed out the gym, and these kids are going to get very embarrassed. So then, like, he takes that one set of group and he leaves me with the other kids. So I'm working with the kids or whatever. And then he's like, I want to start an offense. So I was like, all right, well, you know, I guess we're done. So, you know, kids go over. So we got a game Saturday. This is Blur, you played sports. DJC Siren and New York, y'all didn't. But you usually have a walkthrough the day before a game. And usually one side gives you the look. It's the scout team. Whatever you're going to play against, that's what they line up against. So when you go out there on game day, it looks familiar. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I knew it was bad. The first team offense got in the huddle, and they broke the huddle, and I said, all right. I said, hold on, coach. So they line up, and I said, hold on, fellas. Let me line the defense up to what you're going to see on Saturday. He says, no, run it. And I was like, huh? I was like, well, I'm going to line up so they know. He's like, it don't matter. And I was like, what don't matter? I was like, don't you want them to see the defense? No. I said, okay. And they just run it. And the kids were like, and the kids on the defense, because he was running the offense, I was running the scout team defense, was like, what do you want us to do? I was like, I don't know. Do whatever you want. And I went and sat on the bench. And I guess that's not the look in the world, but
maybe not.
I don't see the problem.
It seemed like you the emotional one, bro. I ain't even going to front. It seemed like you the one moving off emotion.
I didn't walk off. It's right next to it. It's all right. Mike, I was no more than 5 feet away. I just told them to do whatever they want then. I don't understand how that makes me emotional.
If he didn't... I don't want to say upset, but clearly you had an emotional reaction to him not being, I'll say, smart enough to know that, yeah, we should set up a scout team defense and just wanting to run the offense. But instead of processing that and like, all right, let me just get these kids in some type of order, tell them to run their base defense that they usually run. I'm assuming some of these kids probably play defense, run our defense, or at least they lined up, and it's something. I'm just going to walk off to the side and sit down. That seemed like you was moving off emotion.
No, you're changing it. You said at least get them set up in some type of formation. That's what I was trying to do. He said, no, run it anyway. So I said, okay, if he doesn't care about them being in any type of formation, I'm not going to make them line up in it because he doesn't want me to. So I told him just do whatever they want. I didn't walk up and go sit down. The fence is only 5 feet away. Like, it's right next to it. So I just, like, put my arms on the fence and watch practice. So then.
No, you couldn't tell the kids, like, all right, whatever y'all normal defensive calls are, 4-3, 5-2, bear.
No, it's a high.
Whatever y'all defensive call is.
No, they don't even know that. Because, you know, it's one of those, this is Little League football. So, you know, your starters on offense are basically your starters on defense. So these are kind of like the other kids.
That's what I was wondering. Like, do they play, any of them play defense or pay attention to defense at all?
No, only like one or two of them. Like, I could tell one or two. Like, I could tell one or two, hey, yo, you get into, you play defensive end, you play defensive end or linebacker, they know where to go. The other kids are kind of just out there. Which is why I said, hold on, let me at least get them lined up so it gives a good look. I don't understand how that's me being emotional. I thought that's me being an adult and just letting him have it his way.
No. I mean, you when you do that, you clearly show exasperation, frustration.
Well, what would y'all do?
Yeah. I mean, probably the same thing, but I'm not gonna.
But how is that emotional? When emotional, like, no, they need to learn how to.
No, that's arguing. That's
not emotion.
It's a yeah, and what you is emotion too.
How is that emotion?
Because what you don't understand, doing nothing is an emotion.
How is doing nothing giving off an emotion? I actually don't understand. It's not even doing nothing.
I mean, whether it's 5 feet, 10 feet, 50 feet. All right, just throwing your hands up and washing your hands of the situation and walking away—that's a move off emotion.
I wasn't. Because
the first thing to do, like, all right, let me do something. All right, look, hurry up. You there. All right, go, run it. But you stay involved because you were there to be involved.
I was involved, and he told me no, it don't matter. So I was like, so I told the kids to have fun. Like, these are the kids who don't get a lot of playing time, so I was just going to let them have fun. Run around wherever you want. They the little giants. I thought I was doing them a favor. Hey,
don't lie to yourself.
Rick Moranis ain't had the little giants just saying do whatever you want. He had them doing something. The annexation of Puerto Rico.
And they listen to him. They don't listen to me. Look, and one kid was like, Coach, do you mind if I blitz? I said, bro, I don't care what you do, whatever you want. Have fun. I don't understand how that's an emotional response.
New York, I need you to respond to this ridiculous denial of clear emotion.
I don't understand how that's emotional. New York, am I being emotional?
I mean, it's kind of clear emotion, but it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's in a moment, though. It's kind of like, it feels like you ain't doing nothing wrong, though, in a sense. I mean, that's my take on it. I mean, it's clear emotion. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but I mean, is it wrong at that point?
It was wrong. I mean,
okay, let me ask y'all this. What could I do in that instance? And that wasn't even the end of it, because at one point Julius got beat on the block. So the next play, he goes out the wide receiver. We don't have enough kids to run an 11-on-11, so he's just out there by himself. And I heard the play call, so it wasn't coming to him. It was like a run away from him. So I go out there. I'm like, yo, what type of block was that? Like, you let a kid cross your face and get into the backfield? Like, you're just being lazy. I thought you were trying to at least get better. So the coach yells over there, Julius, are you in the play or are you just out there doing whatever you want? I say, yo, I'm talking to him about his missed block. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, there's no one out here. Like, he literally has no one to block. He's not running around. Like, why are you worried about what he's doing right now? Because he's literally going to do nothing. And then he was like, well, he needs to be a part of the play and he can't always listen to you. I said, he's always going to listen to me. I'm his dad.
He just called him out because he was mad
because he's emotional. So then he was like, I mean, if you're going to be out there doing whatever you're doing. I said, doing whatever. I was like, there's no one out here. I said, it's just Julius and me. I said, Julius, I said, just go get in the huddle. I said, don't worry, Julius. He was like, Julius, I need you to get in the huddle. I said, Julius, don't worry about it. This is about me. It's not about you. He was like, it ain't about you either. And I was like, I'm not even talking to you.
But he heard you, so he's going to address it.
But that's how I know it's about me, because he had to address it. I wasn't even talking to him.
See, now, hold up. Now he's emotional.
See?
It makes me mad. Like, I wanted, like, he needs to calm down.
But, you know, he's tiny and fat.
And fat.
So, you know.
He's not tiny. He ain't not tiny. And belly, not tiny. No, and that's just it. He just. He feels.
He came to look at my mom's age back, and Cheryl said, and my wife said, oh, yeah, he's terrible. Like, and she didn't even watch him coach. She just listened to him talk about age back, and all he kept talking about, my mom was having
filters.
Problems, and all he kept talking about was filters, if the filters were clean. And she's like, oh, yeah, he's not smart. The H back repair, man. No, I mean,
you can't call that.
I mean, you're right. I couldn't replace my H back.
Like, no, he just didn't do nothing. Yeah, no, it's you know, he's more concerned about what you're doing versus because I think he knows
that I think he's a terrible coach.
Right.
Well, why does he care?
Because he doesn't want you to think he's terrible. He wants to be as good as you are.
That could never happen.
I just. No, he doesn't.
He loves me way more than anyone.
Well, maybe he's mad about that too.
But I want
to—it's a little, it's a power struggle. That's what it is.
I want to ask y'all this question: what response could I have gave that would not have been emotional? Blur, I'll let you go.
To this situation right here, when you were talking to Julius, I'm trying to think exactly what was said.
Any of the situations,
because
I don't think I was emotional.
All right, coach, do your thing. Or, I don't know. I'm trying to think exactly what he said to you, but my bad, coach, ain't interrupting practice. Do your thing. Or something like that. Like, I think going back and forth, I wouldn't call that emotional. Just, I don't know. I wouldn't even call that particular interaction emotional, per se. Because he was going back and forth. It wasn't the right time for it to be going back and forth. But I wouldn't really call it emotional or moving off emotion. I think a better way of handling it, though, would have been like, all right, Julius, go in the huddle or just, you know what I mean, move closer to the play or something. Just, like, not go back and forth. Almost anything other than go back and forth. Let the coach run the practice.
But, see, that's the thing. This play, this is how terrible the coach is. All right. I keep harping on how terrible the coach is, but, like, that's why I don't understand why he's so offended. Like, he's got to know he's terrible. So when they run a reverse to my son, they want my son close to the tight end. He's the wide receiver on the same side as the tight end. When he's not running a reverse and they do any other play, they want him all the way at the sideline. Any smart coach will look at that and say, hey, when the wide receiver is close to the tight end, they're running reverse. When they line the wide receiver all the way up at the sideline, he ain't involved in the play at all. I know that. I think another coach would be able to see that pretty easily. But I don't even complain about that. This was one of the plays where my son was all the way to the sideline. So I knew he wasn't getting the ball because I pay attention, and I know how terrible these play calls are. So trying to correct my son on how to help block because, you know,
well, can you say even...
And again, it wasn't like he was involved in the play. It wasn't like there was a corner over
but
there that hit him
here's
practice.
The question.
Like, he's literally away from everyone.
If this was a play in a practice that you thought was worthwhile, would you have went over and said anything to Julius at that time?
Yes, because there's no defender on
it. No. If it was worthwhile and you felt like it was something. Because
if the responsibility of my son for that play was the same as the play that I talked to him at, I would have still gone over and talked to him because you know what my son does on that play? He runs off. He basically runs a corner off and just runs 20 yards downfield. Again, there's no corner out there.
No,
you
I'm just trying to say, if you respected the coach and respected the practice,
yeah, at that point,
would you have said something?
Yeah.
Or do you think that was inappropriate that he should have been focusing
no,
on?
No, because he wasn't going to do anything.
It doesn't matter.
No, what I'm saying to you, even if it was a coach who I thought had a good play call, if my son at that moment was 10, 15 yards away from the ball, wasn't going to do nothing but run up the sideline against nobody, I would have still at that point said, yo, what the fuck was you doing the play before?
Can you not at least, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate, see why he was frustrated because he felt like.
No, because I've always interrupted, like when kids, like I've done this before when other kids were out there running against nobody, like I've corrected their plays, their play and their technique.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not doing anything, so that's the perfect time for me. Hey, he's running the play to the right, a power to the right, but he's got a wide receiver all the way to the left at the sideline. All he's doing is running 20 yards, and we don't have enough corners. Yo, let me talk to you about your steps on, you know, when you're doing a reverse.
Well, why don't you go to the coach and say, hey, when
it's never been a problem to the night. I've done it.
Okay. Then he's emotional. You should go and say, the only reason why I was doing this because I know Julius wasn't involved with the play.
But I don't want to talk to him about it.
Why?
Because
you're emotional.
No, because it's not worth it. He'll never play for him after this.
It's not.
Why do I have to discuss him? Why do I have to tell him how terrible?
Why not? Why not? Maybe you're the person to help him. Maybe you're here to help.
God can't help him. That man's running a wing tee with elbow blocking.
Next topic.
I mean, I want to finish discussion on just emotional. No. I didn't mean to make this about the suit. But that's my example why, because a person like that, not to make it about him, but a person like that can never get past their own disappointment in someone else. Like, he's disappointed in me probably by my body language and how I'm acting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just talking to me or saying, yo, if we're going to do this, yo, I need you on the same page or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to be angry and upset the whole time. Where even though I think he's a terrible coach, I'm still out there, you know, cheering on the kids.
He's not a good manager. Like, a good manager would be like, oh, I need
him. I know he's a terrible man, but I'm just saying emotional men like that aren't good for society. I think that's why Putin is blowing up Ukraine. Emotional man. I think that's why Kanye hates Jews. Emotional man. They're never good for society. I think emotional women are fine. I think women handle their emotions better than men.
Not with my car get keyed. That's a different story.
But see, your car gets keyed by a woman, right? I think an emotional man tries to shoot you. That's what I mean. Like, it's not perfect all the time by women, but I just think they handle emotions better.
I don't know if that's handling emotions better. That might just be access, because the same woman that key your car, if has a gun, maybe the same woman to try and shoot you. It just depends on what she has access to at that time.
Women always got guns.
I feel like Beast on Gun says I'm emotional. I feel like I'm emotional and I would never damage anyone's property. Why? I don't care about you enough. I don't want to touch your shit. I will box and bring it to you and leave it on your doorstep. I've done that. Because I don't care enough about you to go off the rail. You think that was important enough? You think you're important enough for me to go out and actually do a criminal act? Fuck that. Have your car. Thank you.
All right. So my vote.
Not to change the subject, because what you saying, DJ Tussarin, I think you're right, but I think for some people, especially like being in the area that I'm in now, which I don't know if y'all saw, St. Louis, worst number one crime city in the country, 2022, worst city in America again. Man, it's bad out here. But I see, like, the environment that you're in or the place that you raised, like, so you may see as not being worth it as doing a criminal act is getting out of pocket. To other people, that's just the everyday thing. So keying a car as opposed to shooting is handling your emotions correctly. So I do agree with you. Yeah, it's not that serious or whatever it is. You may not care about that person that much. you may box their stuff up to other people, that's level one. Shooting is level 10. So they feel like they're keeping themselves in check by keeping it at level one and just keying the car.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, I feel like I'm emotional, but that's not where my emotions lie. But, yeah, I guess this keying the car keeps you from getting shot. Have at my car, please.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we don't have to. So, last question. Let's just take the poll real quick. Are emotional men good for society, DJ C-Sire? Yes or no?
No.
Blur, are emotional men good for society? Yes or no?
I'm going to say, yeah, no. No, it's not good. Anybody moving off emotion, man, woman, child? Nah, not good for anybody.
New York, what's your poll? What's your answer, yes or no?
I'm going to say no, too. I'm going to say no, too. Majority rules.
Okay. I'm in agreement with y'all.
Speaking of emotional men, did y'all see about Ray J?
Did Ray commit suicide again?
No, Ray J was with the Candace, what's her name?
Candace Owens.
Her documentary that's proving that
White Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter is a scam and took people's money. It opened yesterday in Kanye. So there's a picture of Kanye, Candace Owens, some white dude, and Ray J. They're like, how the hell did Ray J find his way into this? Like, where'd he come from? Why is he there? I don't know.
I saw that pic, and I was thinking the same thing. But you know what's funny? If you look at Ray J's face, like, in the picture I seen, he's not, like, front and center. He's kind of off the back a little bit. I'm like, yo, he don't want to be there. He do not want to be there. They probably got the same publicist or something. You got the same agent or something. So he there, like, off a favor, or his agent tells him to be somewhere on the scene. He did not look like he wanted to be there. I mean, maybe he was just meme mugging, you know. Him and Kanye got things in common, so. But yeah, he was not looking like he was happy.
I didn't see this. I didn't know. What was Ray J doing at the Candace Owens Festival?
I don't know.
Man. I don't know. I was playing basketball. But, so did Ray J ever explain why he was there for the White Lives Matter Festival?
I haven't read if he had any comments or exactly what. It's just the pictures have come out from last night, and they're just like, why the hell is Ray J here with?
Ray J, goat in our community. They can't take him out.
Oh, they're ready to revoke his card. They're ready to make him irreverent.
Not after what the Kardashians did, so. So do we care about Kanye and Candace Owens seemingly forming what Ben Carson always dreamed of?
Which was?
A black coalition group of people who wanted, of black people who want to be white.
Is that what Ben Carson wanted?
I think,
You know, it's funny. Because not I always taking things political, but it's funny because I do feel like they are, like, creating a very small, because I don't feel like it's going to be a lot of people, well, I see it getting bigger, joining that kind of delegation of, I would say, black people, maybe it's non-white people really wanting white validation. And I don't like Charlamagne, but I got to really give it to him because he kind of put it in perspective whenever he talked about Kanye all this week. He just put it into perspective. He's like, yo, I've never seen somebody who wanted white validation so bad. And I could see that's kind of like, oh yeah, that's what it is. Anything to get the white people to like me, to be accepted by them. And I see that from Candace Owens and then this other, whatever the other chick, Dame Dash cousin named Stacey Dash, like her, Omarosa. There's a couple of other people who got that same thing where they want validation from that community. So it's not necessarily like the black people. It's not just Republicans. It's just that small group of people who just want to be accepted by white people. Yeah, I don't think too many people gonna be joining that club though, because they look goofy, and I think you gotta have some type of cool to your group if you want people to join, and they all look goofy.
Nick, what you think of the Kanye's and Candace Owens and Ray J black white delegation?
Don't put Ray J in that delegation, man. You gotta stop that. Don't put Ray J over there with them.
Nah. But Ray J was present because, like literally, while when the podcast actually just started, I was scrolling on Instagram and I see the picture and I was like, it's like Kanye, somebody else, Candace Owens, and Ray J. Like you said, Ray J was off to the side, but I was like, why Ray J right there? What did Ray J do? I didn't understand that. But now that the documentary is coming out and stuff like that, now I understand. But nah. Ray J need to get himself out of there. I don't know what he doing in there. Or like, nah. Don't hurt your brand like that, bro. He already did the VH1 stuff. Family and everything else is all public and stuff like that. Nah, get yourself out of there.
Some extra money. What do you think about Ray J, Kanye, and Candace Owens partying together?
I mean, first of all, I'll start off by saying fuck both of them.
There's three of them.
Well, Ray J, I mean, I haven't seen him say anything on the level of what Kanye and Candace Owens did, but if he on them too, then fuck him too. I think all of them got mental health issues, and I think that Blur kind of said it. I think it's like that wanting to be, like, accepted, like, for whatever reason. I have no idea. Because they sound goofy, to use this term, and to me it just is full of hypocrisy. You know, because she like misses like the whole, you know, social economic like that we as black people didn't just all of a sudden like create. Like it was created for us, and this caste system was kind of put upon us, right? And so she missed that whole point when she's talking about we destroying our community, but she doesn't want to talk about the same white people who put us in that same community and then left us to fend for it. And then when we had a community and we made that shit great, then they burned that bitch down. But she misses that whole fucking point, right? She misses all the points of the black greatness, the black shit, the black people who actually did stuff and then got trampled over by that same system that she's supposedly trying to represent or make feel like they supposed to like not feel guilty for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a person who's down in Carolina who said that she was on a school field trip, and her son, they were talking about cotton, and the teacher called off and said that there were people that the U.S. imported over here to help work those cotton fields. So now you got motherfucking white people talking about that don't believe in critical race theory, talking about we slaves were imported. Like what? Hey, what kind of narrative is that for a kid? So they weren't slaves that was brought here on their own free will. Nah, they got imported over here like a good. It don't even make sense. But the type of thing that they're missing, and they all for what? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be joining that movement, though. They can have it.
DJ C. Sire? We're all disappointed in Ray J, right? Like, the story has to be Ray J's got to do an Instagram Live where he's, like, smoking weed and laughing at, like, yo, I thought we were going to, like, a Kanye West
like,
music session. I had no idea I was going to see. What's that movie where the white people talk about being Nazi, born to raise. What was that movie? Oh, shit. That's been a good joke. What was that movie about, like, white nationalism that was real famous? It was, like, one of the first motion pictures. Yeah. First Amendment.
No.
Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation. And the black dude made it and raped that girl, allegedly. I hope he didn't.
The black girl made it.
Didn't the black dude remake it? Like the black version?
That wasn't Birth of a
Why you got to keep saying that he raped that girl, man? That's not what he's known for, and he didn't rape her. She voluntarily had sex with him. His homeboy came after him with the rape. Now I say it, I don't know where the rape, I don't know if that counts as rape for him, but she voluntarily had sex with him.
I thought that was the whole thing where he got in trouble because he got arrested for raping a girl.
He was arrested and found not guilty.
Oh, good for him.
Gotta tell the whole story, man. Gotta tell the whole story.
Look, I covered myself. I don't know what happens with these people. Oh, I'm glad he was found not guilty. See how women do?
Oh.
Emotional.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
We got to understand that Ray J probably thought he was just going to a Kanye West session, right?
That's what I just want to hear. I just want to hear Ray J talking. Like
Ray
his explanation will be definitely.
He's
going
to start off with a yo. I had no idea.
And then he's going to have receipts. You know he's going to have receipts because you know he's famous for that job. He's going to post text messages, all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
well,
so
here's the thing, though, because Ray J been going through some things as well where he might actually, but I do think we need to hold off on putting Ray J in that group, but he's been going through some things where he might actually feel more connected to Kanye. Like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, where the internet's just on you. Like, I mean, everything is people calling you crazy and stuff. And then, you know, he got the whole legal battle with the Kardashians, the same thing Ye kind of going through. And, like, you know, that family, that whole unit, that whole little machine that they got going over there, when you try and fight the machine, I can relate to this battle you're going through. So when everyone's saying you crazy and they got you looking some type of way in the media, I understand. So I feel like Ray J may have some sympathy, if maybe not like be in line with Kanye on some things. That said, Ray J has never, I mean, jumped out the window the way Kanye has. Ray J usually, especially with social political things, Ray J usually has been kind of, I'll say, on the right side of things in the past for the most part.
But I don't understand.
That's a good
this.
Point.
Kanye. Oh, go ahead, I'm not sure.
No, I just said that was a good point.
I mean, he might have some sympathy for Kanye because, but Kanye doesn't feel like the internet is attacking him. Kanye feels like Jewish people are attacking him. And aren't Jewish
people?
No,
he feel like the internet people attack him too. He feel like the internet people, the internet on the people attacking him because he always say, y'all mad at me for wearing this hat, y'all mad at me. He's not talking about Jewish people when he's saying that. He's talking about the people, black people who be attacking him online. Why wasn't y'all mad when I couldn't see my kids? Like, stuff like that.
See, I thought he was still talking to the Jews, and that's why he said he was going to go DEFCON 3 on Jews.
No.
He's talking to other
Wait,
people.
You thought Kanye was talking about Jewish people when he said, why y'all wasn't upset when they was trying to keep a black man from seeing his kids?
Yes, that's why I thought this whole thing was hilarious.
He's talking to black people.
Why? What does black people have to do about him not seeing his kids?
Because he's a black father not being able to see his kids with a non-black woman. So black people, black men being mistreated in the justice system. He's trying to play on that.
Was he mistreated?
That's a misplay, though, because people did come out though. They came out. The problem was, is that the man who bought houses next to him. It was borderline harassing the judge. It wasn't like he was fighting this judge just in the court system and lost or got mistreated or something like that. The man was doing borderline harassing things. So he kind of turned, he like tainted his own argument. So people wanted to support him. I mean, shit, I supported him on the fact that, you know what I mean, the whole games that she was playing, you know what I mean, he wanted his kids to be at certain events or whatever, and Kim was playing those games. I fully supported that piece. What I didn't support, though, is the other stuff. The other stuff that he was doing that would negatively affect his kids. And, you know what I mean, and borderline be harassing to anybody. Like, that doesn't help him as an individual, and it doesn't help his case. I'm just trying to see his kids because he looked crazy.
And that's the thing. And not just Kanye. I think most people, the negative stuff is always louder. And but especially for someone like Kanye, it's like, yo, y'all not with me 100%, then you against me. Because, I mean, like you, I think most people felt the same way. Like, yeah, you're right, but you tripping. But I don't think Kanye, he's like, he just probably heard the you tripping part. And, I mean, I think a lot of people suffer from that. Like, you kind of overlook the positive comments or the people in line with you, and the negative ones usually stick out. And for him, that's probably all he sees is the negative comments, which it ain't working, but somebody need to try and get through to him.
Am I wrong? But I never knew, and this could be my ignorance of near, you can jump in. I know you keep up more with celebrities. But am I bugging? But wasn't Kim saying she wanted Kanye to see his kids? She just needed him to stop acting crazy? Like, I don't ever recall. Now, I know MX said that she was playing games to have him, the kids attending certain events. So I don't know anything about that. But I felt like I've never heard anything about Kim keeping the kids away from Kanye.
No,
well, it depends on who you hear it from.
Yeah, because what she was saying was he could come get her when he was supposed to come get her, blah, 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 blah. So it's almost like, you know what I mean, like if Cheryl's, I mean, shit, DJ C. Stein's like, hey, you can come see your kid on Saturday, and then Saturday comes like, ah, you know what? And you flew, and again, because he wasn't all the way always in L.A. So from what he's saying is that basically he had something popping in Atlanta. He flew out to L.A. to get the kids just to bring them back to Atlanta. And Kim was on some old, I got to go to Germany, so I'm taking the kids to Germany with me type of shit. Like after you already get landed in L.A., she like, nah, I got to go down to Miami, so I'm going to be in Miami with the kids. Knowing you coming to L.A. to get them. Like, that's some bullshit, right? You done made me fly all the way to damn California, and now you back in Miami when you knew I was coming from Atlanta. Like, what? Like, because she's like, because something happened with the store or something, or she got to do a model shoot. But let him go all the way to Canada while you flying back to the East Coast. Like, that's some bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that's wild. I never heard about that.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'm not saying that's the exact thing. I'm just saying that was the kind of stuff that she was doing.
Yeah, whenever things is with family, it's like, I mean, I want him to do, I mean, just like all men, I want them to have equal footing when it comes to family issues. But with family issues, especially with celebrities, I kind of just check out because you don't know. You never know, like, what's really happening. And for the most part, again, this is like who you hear from, because Kim Kardashian, for the most part, was staying quiet until, like, things was piling up, and then she would respond to something. Just like Khloe finally responded to something like, yo, you got to stop. You got to stop. You keep pushing these narratives, and they're just not true. I don't know if they're true or not. Like, again, there's always two sides to a story. Kanye said they wouldn't let him see his kid or didn't tell him where the party was at. Khloe came out like, yo, it was, yeah, I did have separate parties. And now you're saying you ain't know where the party was at. As soon as you said you wanted to show where you wanted to come to the party, we told you where it was at. So you saying someone was trying to hide it from you when it was your idea to have separate parties, and then all of a sudden you said you wanted to show up at the last minute.
You think
who's
Kanye
telling the truth? Like, it's just different perspectives. So I just kind of check out, like, yo, y'all figure that out. Best of luck to you.
You think Kanye's happy that he got white kids?
I guess so. Now he is. that helps with his group. No, that's what I was saying is what I was my response to what MX was saying was, but we don't know the story. We don't know the narrative, and we don't know who's putting it out there. And that's exactly what Blur, like you said, I mean, like I said, still don't know, and it still could be twisted or skewed. But what Khloe was saying, you know, you're putting it out there that you couldn't come to the party, but you wanted two separate parties. Then when you came back and said, oh, no, I want to come to that party too, fine. You were able to come. So don't say, oh, you know, they have these parties. I don't know where, you know. And so I'm like, is that the same situation before? Like, really, what's going on? And truthfully, the way Kanye talks, you kind of have to question if he's saying it just because that sounds good. And it's funny, too, because between Kim and I'm kind of go back, I watched this whole thing about basically it was kind of pushing the whole thing about his relationship with Amber Rose. And, like, when he first started dating Kim, how he said he had to brush his teeth. Do y'all remember what he said? Like, he had to brush his teeth, you know, 50 times or 100 times, or he had to gargle with Lister, whatever he said, you know, before he got with Kim, because, you know, trying to say that Amber Rose was so dirty and so filthy and so nasty. And I think he, you know, he gets these women that kind of have this past or have this kind of thing about him that he can kind of cast in a negative light if he wants to. And it's like the same thing he did with Amber Rose. Like, Amber Rose was so great, but then, you know, oh, well, she was a stripper. Yeah, she's a slut. She, you know, she's a hoe. You know, dang, you know. And it's like he could put that narrative up there just because of what we knew about her past. And it seems like he's doing the same thing with Kim. Like, oh, you know, we got her up here showing her butt, you know what I'm saying? And she's the mother of 3 or 4 black kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Like, I'm taking what y'all know about her and let me go in on it so they look bad. And I feel like that's something that he did, I don't know, consciously, but he's using that to make him, you know, say, look what these women have done to me. Like, you know, I have to escape from. That's all.
Didn't he tell Amber Rose? Didn't Amber Rose say that he used to masturbate to the Ray J and Kim Kardashian sex tape?
I missed that.
I think he said that.
I know it was one of them.
Yeah, I think he said that. No, I think Kanye said that. I don't even know if he said it was to the sex tape, but I think he said it was to Kim. And, I mean, if you're doing it to Kim, then that's automatically what people assume. I mean, it could be her photos, but if you got her in action, that's probably what you're going to go to, too.
Is that weird for Ray J, though? Would you be weird if you're Ray J and you know that he said that and, like, now you're, like, partying together? Like, yo, you're like, yo, bro, you said you used to masturbate to me, bro. Like,
are they partying together or white lines at around? I'm still not sure if Ray J knew what he was there for.
It wasn't a rally. It was a premiere of a bogus movie.
It might be good.
No, I hate watching it.
You know what? It's funny, right? And again, not a Jay subject, because I really hate, like, getting or preforming an opinion on a movie or a show or something before I see it. But I really don't want to see this thing. It sounds just like the title of it sounds like it's garbage. I don't believe that Candace Owens is going to put her name on something and put it out there for the world to see if it is garbage. I do feel like it's already going to be misconstrued and out of context, which I feel like having not seen or even known about this until like yesterday, like I'm probably right on the money that it's going to be misconstrued. It's like, the name is like The Greatest Lie Ever Sold or something like that. George Floyd and the Ride of BLM. BLM was around before George Floyd, so it's like even saying
right.
George Floyd and the Rise of BLM, I know. I mean, the title alone got me having so many questions, but I hate to have, like, doubt about something before I see it. Like, I was already feeling certain kind of way because I started looking at all these reviews of the Woman King that were like from the same people who would be in that coalition with Kanye and Candace Owens just bashing this movie. And then I look at him like, oh, y'all ain't even see the movie and y'all bashing it. I see what time it is. So I don't want to make any moves with the same people who would be doing stuff like that.
I mean, my standpoint is if this is a movie about how the Black Lives Matter organization started and stole money, I'm interested in seeing that. I think it's when it comes to embezzlement, you know, I have a fascination with criminals and stealing money. You know, I would love to see a documentary and all that.
But they haven't been charged. That's not allegedly. Yeah, they like allegedly.
White Lives Matter. Like, why are you showing up with White Lives Matter shirts at a documentary about an organization?
Well, no, he didn't wear the shirt to the documentary. He wore the shirt
to a fashion show.
The documentary, he just had an all black on.
I feel like he is getting paid. I feel like he's getting paid to do it. I damn sure know Candace Owens is getting paid to do it. But I'd be interested in seeing how many viewers that she get on her show or podcast, and if they actually get paid to show up, right? Because that would make a lot of sense, right? You know, because they're influencers, obviously. I think it would make a lot of sense if they actually got paid to do all this stuff that they're doing. Because I know Kate, I know, you know, Kanye isn't above a dollar, right? So I feel like if I told him, like, look, man, you should stand on this issue, and I'll give you a couple mil to do it, wear it at your fashion show, and then wear it at this movie, show up to this movie, and wear it and just make a statement or whatever, right? I feel like he would take that. I damn sure know she would. But I think Ye would do the same thing.
See, I feel like Ye, because he already got money. I saw something, and it was like Kanye West made more money off of his Adidas deal that Michael Jordan has made with Nike and Jordan. Now, this wasn't from somebody, like, I don't know where they got the numbers from, but this wasn't from somebody who's, like, a Kanye supporter. And they were talking about, like, they was kind of bashing him, talking about, yo, you keep getting in these deals with brands and stuff, and you're doing these things, and then you say they're doing you wrong. You've made more money with Adidas than Michael Jordan has made with Nike. His entire run with Nike, you made more money with Adidas, just, like, I guess over, like, the way his deal is structured and the percentages he get off of it, it's like, and it, I guess for however long they use Yeezy or the designs, he made like however much money, but it's more than Jordan. And again, I say allegedly, so I don't know where they got the numbers from, but it's reported that it's more than Jordan made with Nike. And so they're like, yo, you bashing these people, but they're the reason that you're allegedly a billionaire. It's because of this. Now you signed a good deal. Now you're saying you went out. And so they was coming at him for that. I feel like, yo, if you're making, like, big deals, I can't see you getting paid to, like, hang out with Candace Owens or to do T-shirts. Now, again, he says he's selling these. Like, these are things. He's like, this is his shirt, his design, and it's going to be for sale. So I can see him doing that, which anything for a buck in that way. But I can't see, like, Fox News or – I don't know, MAGA or the Proud Boys. I don't think they got enough money where they could pay Kanye for his time and his services.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. Kanye, he's acting like a fool.
Hey, someone. Did your kitchen close?
But I don't know. I don't know. But all right, we ain't got to stay on that too much longer, man. Fun topic. The topic I posed in the group was like, who would I say? Who would you rather die, Trump? Oh, yeah, but do we understand why he hates Jewish people?
Because it's he's believing.
I didn't understand the DEFCON 3 on Jews. And honestly, there's two parts to this question. Came out with a White Lives Matter shirt, and he says, I'm about to go DEFCON 3 on Jews. That's why this is my timeline, because I don't take this. Here we are. This is why I love the internet and Jewish people. So I'm about to go DEFCON 3 on all the Jews, because he was beating on puppies. But they shut him down before he could go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. So did he actually offend Jewish people?
Well, he already had offended Jewish people before.
He said something else?
He was already did a screenshot of his conversation with Puffy, and he said the reason why Puffy is telling him...
Because the Jewish people said
Because the Jewish people?
That's not against Jewish people.
Yes, it is. You can't... That's called, like, evil Jews or, like,
brainwashing. You're innocent. Maybe a Jewish person called him. Maybe Goldstein called Puffy and said, yo...
That's the thing, and that's where the Jewish community always fall back on. Like, you playing on stereotypes that almost had us wiped out. That's like whenever they say that, hey, Jews control all the money, like, yo, stop saying that, because people going to believe you. The last person who really believed that put us in concentration camps. Don't say that we control all the media and all the entertainment. Because the people who believe that are trying to kill us. So you playing on that and you putting that out there saying we controlling Puffy, we control the media, like we control the late night shows. You saying that has gotten people, now say from our race, our religion or whatever, killed. So when you playing that, and even if you don't specifically say that, you putting those stereotypes out there are dangerous to us.
See, I didn't read into all that. Maybe that's because I'm not Jewish. So when he said, I'm going to get that Jewish person who sent you, I thought he just meant, like, whoever owns, like, whatever music that they're talking about.
No.
He's saying that Jewish people run the entire, like, music.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks
it's the
whoever,
conspiracy theory. Yes. It's the general.
So he thinks whoever these Jewish people are, like, called Puffy?
Mm-hmm.
Is Puffy that important? Because I feel like we need to praise Puff getting called by the almighty Jewish person.
But all, right, the Jewish, right, like.
I feel like we need to give Puff his props if he made it to that contact.
Right, right, they're calling him and say, yo, Puffy. But that's just it, Kaya. I mean, no, yeah. So that's what it was
so
more of the generalized.
Because he said, I'm going to get that Jewish person. He said that Jewish person who sent you. So I assume that he was talking to somebody specific.
He said that Jewish person. I think he said,
and look, I'm not here to justify Kanye's racism. I just didn't understand it when I saw it. Because I thought he was talking about, like, a Lior Cohen or somebody.
Nah, he was talking about whoever's in charge of you. Whoever's in charge of you is a Jewish person. You answer to a Jewish person, meaning, hey, there's a Jewish person above you that you got to answer to. Again, putting the conspiracy theory, the narrative out there that, hey, but you don't know. Puffy may not answer to anybody. He's a grown man who, I mean, has his own businesses. Like,
but maybe,
so saying that above everybody else, there's a Jewish person, it reinforces the narrative that, hey, Jewish people are running the world. We need to get rid of them.
See, I didn't see that. And again, that could be my ignorance of not being Jewish, but I thought he was talking about somebody specific,
no.
But y'all saying he's not talking
he
about
not.
Somebody specific.
He is not.
Okay. I believe y'all. Again, my ignorance, I'm not that hip on Jewish racism, even though I understand the whole Nazi thing. But, like, I couldn't understand why he says white lives matter and then he was going to go DEFCON 3 on Jews. Aren't Jewish people white?
Well, no.
Here we go.
We don't
Sammy Davis Jr. was not white.
Who?
Sammy Davis Jr.
Black person, you know.
Sammy Davis Jr. was adopted.
He converted. He
was an adopted Jew.
That's what I'm saying. Anybody can convert, but not. See, you know what's funny? I don't think anybody who's been in like major cities finds this too surprising. No, because the Black Israelites. This is their thing. And this seems like this is on par for Kanye. Like, he's a gangster disciple, or at least was a close enough affiliated with them. And I feel like Kanye has probably been around enough Black Israelites to feel like, yeah, Black people were the original Jewish people. So, like, it all seems to be in line. It doesn't surprise me him saying these things. So, like, him saying, yeah, I'm going to go DEFCON 3 or DEFCON 3 on Jewish people is him talking about, you know, what people most likely stereotypically view as Jewish people, people who are ruling the world, controlling the bank, controlling all the industries. You know, the Hasidic Jews with the things on their head, and I can't think of the name of it, like the caps and the long beards and the sideburns. Also saying, yeah, I'm talking about y'all, but I'm not anti-Semitic because the Black Israelites tell us that the original Jewish people were Black people, but they may have been, you know, Egypt and all stuff like that. So they probably were darker skinned, but who knows?
I dated a Hebrew Israelite.
Was he poor? Because they always look poor when they're on the corner, and I'd be trying to give them money. Was he poor? Those were the ones that got flooded in.
I don't know. He had a lot of situations going on.
Did he try to convert you to be a Jew?
No.
Look, I wanted to give, because my mother-in-law calls my son Juju, I wanted to get him 2 Jewish stars.
No, I know. You've already said this.
Sire told me no.
No.
She said that was racist.
It's racist.
I don't think so. His name is Juju. And Black people were the original Jews.
Mm.
I can't be an anti-Semitic, according to Kanye. And I have a Jewish friend.
Must not say according to Kanye when you're trying to argue anything. How about that?
Talk about Jewish people. Don't get me careful. I love that.
I was going to say. Let's
try. I don't understand the whole matzo ball thing. I think you need salt.
Have you had matzo?
Yeah, my boss was Jewish. She cooked for me all the time.
She didn't come out right?
No, she loved it, and her family loved it.
I mean, for you.
I mean, it just, like, I don't know if it's a Jewish thing or if it's a white person thing. Just feel like you need to talk.
Maybe a little both. Even though challah is mosh?
Challah. We should do a remix to Ja Rule. Blur, I still owe you. I still owe you a football video. I just realized that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got to get on that. Oh. I'm still over it. I just realized.
You got to start getting this footwork
down.
Yeah,
I got to find this video again. We got to do this. We'll have that discussion when we get off. That's a good one. We'll get that truth together. But, yeah, Ja Rule should do a Jewish video. Holla. If you're ready to get
dollars.
That would be a
great
anti-Semitic.
I'm
going to
say you kicked off of Twitter.
Oh, man. Alright, so we done with Kanye?
Yeah.
Alright. DJ C-Side, you got something you want to talk about? Man, we spent a lot of time. We spent an hour and a half on some nonsense. What else happened
for you? I don't know.
I still think emotional mess. See? We need less Kanye. Great music, but we need less of them. DJ C-Side.
I already bought
it. Oh, you already won it? Blur, what you got tonight?
Yo, we touched on Draymond, man. Y'all got any thoughts on Draymond Green? Specifically on how you going to punch your teammate in the face, the video get out, and all you get is a small fine, not even no time or no real suspension. That's crazy. Okay. So I wanted to ask, like, could y'all still be cool or go back to working with or being teammates with someone who laid you out like that?
I've lost fights and still been cool with people. I don't think it's that big of a deal. The public shame is tough. You got to learn how to fight after that because people are going to have big jokes. And you got to be able to say, well, if you think I'm a pussy, then fight me right now. And you got to be able to learn how to fight. But, man, I tell you what. Okay. I think I could be cool with somebody if they hit me like that because I don't think losing a fight or getting punched in the face is that big of a deal. It's happened. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But I understand how people's come in and you can't control people's pride. But I've had football teammates that got laid out like that. And, you know, you had to just be teammates. What was you going to do? Now, this was college, so it's a little different. You know, you can't just up and leave. There ain't no money involved. But, you know, cats can get over it. I know, I saw it. What you think, DJ Cesar?
Next.
He wasn't listening. So the question was, can Jordan Poole and Draymond Green ever be cool again after Draymond Green gave him the how you can?
Maybe like just a work relationship, maybe enough where they can just stand each other to play. Or practice together, but that's it.
Yeah, I thought
because that's money involved. That's money and contracts involved. So you have to suck it up just so that you can, you know what I'm saying? But that might be it.
But Jordan Poole deserved it. He said, "What did the chicks at Michigan State? What did it for him? The triple single line? He deserved a good shot." New York, triple single. So Draymond Green wasn't a big star. As they said, he had like 2 points, two rebounds, two assists. With a triple-double, he had a triple single. He said that's what did it for the Michigan State Chicks. New York, what do you think, man?
Look, I'm real big on accountability. I don't fault Draymond Green for doing what he did because at the end of the day, yeah, you know what I mean? Jordan Poole got physical first. I mean, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Somebody walking you down like that, nah, if you're not going like that, if you don't want it to get to a physical altercation, nah, walk them down like that. A little chest bump, a little shoulder bump ain't going to hurt nobody. But as soon as you push somebody off of you like that and you still got your hands down, like, nah, Like, nah, how you going to push somebody that aggressively and act like they ain't going to retaliate against you? You still got your hands down. You push somebody off you that far? Nah, you just gave them the momentum to come with the actual drawback and connect it. It connected to and he dropped. Look, at the end of the day, nah, I don't even think it's on Draymond Green. He got physical first. I mean, words is words. People going to come together, you know what I mean, and then, like, be in your face and stuff like that and push you around and stuff like that. Not pushing you, but, like, nah, you in somebody's face right now. He walking you down. And if you going to push somebody like that, make the contact first, nah, you got to put your hands up after that. Why your hands still down after you push them like that? Nah, I think Draymond acted in an accordingly manner. Not saying, like, if y'all teammates and stuff like that, of course, y'all can get back cool. Like, everybody, like, even me, like, back in the day when I played basketball, everybody's not on the same accord. Like, everybody come from different lifestyles and stuff like that. People fight, people talk shit, everything like that, you know what I mean? But, like, it kind of is what it is. Y'all can be cool. It don't matter if you lost a fight or whatever. He just wasn't prepared at that one time. He caught him slipping. Now he's out to the world. I mean, it probably hurts your pride, but at the end of the day, I mean, if you're going to make the first move, make the first right move.
I think we're underplaying the fact that Jordan Poole has got a video out of him going to sleep in front of millions and millions of people. I understand.
I'm not underplaying it.
Go ahead, Blur.
I'm not underplaying it because I don't know if I'm as mature as New York. Like, I know I'm not as mature as New York. I'm not going to say maybe not. But in this specifically, I don't know. I don't think I can do it. And I guess, like DJ T-Siren, like, it's contracts, it's money. But what happened outside of the facility happens outside of the facility. Like, because, yeah, you ain't just going to slump me like that. And now the video is out, too. I do think the video out escalates it because, like, you could just tell your wife or your friends or, I mean, yeah, I got dude connected. Like, you know what I mean? But it looks bad. It looks so much worse. Like, Draymond said this thing, like, yo, he got family. He got parents. And his parents had to see that video. Like, yeah, that's going to live on. Another thing, I hate TMZ. But, yeah, that's out there now. So I think that escalates it. But even if it went out, there's just knowing. Like, I can't go – like, I'm going to have a hard time going in the locker room every day with this dude who slumps me like that. Like, I mean, yeah. And maybe it's immaturity because I'm going to be one to retaliate. I'm going to want to retaliate. Yeah, if I hadn't already, like, I'm definitely going to want to retaliate. And when the video gets out, now I feel like I have to retaliate.
This is going to come off as ignorant, and I really don't mean it as ignorant. I really mean it just as we're right in society. Why are you laughing, DJ? I'm saying it beforehand because I know how it's going to come off, and I don't mean it for how it sounds, but somebody can probably say it better for me. But the way people are using mental health as an excuse to, like, get out of stuff, Jordan Poole could literally say, I do not feel comfortable working, and probably sue the Golden State Warriors and never have to work again after this video is released.
Well,
and people, because of the mental health wave, like, they're going to have to probably respect that. Like, Jordan Poole might have just gotten handed a ticket to never work again. I don't know what can be proven in the court of law. Blur will probably be able to answer that more, but I would say the Golden State Warriors have to have some type of HR environment where if somebody, you know, feels like they're being threatened or abused, because I know at my job, my assistant controller, we got a new controller who became the boss of my assistant controller. They didn't get along, and my assistant controller felt like she was being attacked. She got about 4 months off, fully paid, because the doctor said her blood pressure was being raised by the controller attacking her. So after you get punched in front of millions, I can only assume Jordan Poole can say, hey, I don't feel comfortable ever stepping in an NBA locker room again. And I feel like the NBA would be liable for that. Am I off?
I don't know about the NBA, and I don't know about it just getting punched because I don't think that was outside of their control. But the video getting released, I feel like he definitely could have something toward the Golden State Warrior because closed practice, closed facility, like all video taken in there is technically, it's more than likely property of the Golden State Warriors. And then they have some responsibility to control that video. So either the Golden State Warriors or someone under their employer control put that video of me getting assaulted out to the world to forever be out there. Yeah, so he might have something in that and them letting the video get out. I mean, that said, he's probably going to make a lot more money just actually working and playing basketball than he will from suing them. But, yeah, he could definitely have a lawsuit for that.
But I feel like he could sue for lost and future wages if he can't perform his duty because he's scared to walk in the locker room. I don't know. Man, I have to talk to somebody smarter than me.
For that, he could probably go after Draymond. I don't think he'd go after the NBA or Golden State for that. Unless, again, hey, I don't know if I could go back to a locker room if they've hurt my future earnings. I can't be mentally, I can't be in the locker room even outside of this facility because they let the video out. I think the video is more damning to the team than the actual act, because the actual act was Draymond Green himself. He didn't do it, like, on behalf of the NBA or on behalf of Golden State Warriors. That was just one man doing the thing. So he could definitely sue Draymond Green if he wanted to, absolutely.
You know what I found telling? And I don't know if people picked up on this. In Draymond's press conference, he said that, you know, there's things going on outside of basketball that had an effect on the way he reacted. One of Poole's jokes that went too far and got Poole smacked in the face. I told you this Will Smith shit is true. Chris Rock should have never talked about Will Smith. Poole should have never talked about Green. But one of the jokes was, how does it feel knowing that you're going to be broke in Sacramento this time next year? Alluding to that the Golden State Warriors, you know, are going to let Draymond Green go. And the fact that he said broke and Draymond Green said he's got things going on outside, I wonder if Draymond Green is fighting for his last contract because he's having money issues. And the fact that these kids, you know, Jordan Poole is one of those guys who he's not an up-and-coming superstar, but he's going to be a huge role player for, you know, Golden State, and he's a big role player this year in the fact that they won the championship and, you know, he's going to get $100 million just because that's what the market is for these role players, where Draymond Green, when he was at his height, probably got, you know, about a $40 million contract. Now, I'm not sure if Draymond Green's broke, or I wouldn't dare accuse him of somebody who's gotten those type of contracts being broke. But I wonder if that was one of those jokes where maybe we don't know what's going on with Draymond Green's personal life, and maybe he's having some issues that we don't know about, and he really, really needs this money, and that bothered him to the point where he's stock pool. Or maybe he was just tired of pool talking.
I mean, I think it's probably a combination of that. I don't know. Again, I don't think Draymond Green is going to go broke. And I just pulled it up real quick. I think his last contract, and if basketball contracts are really guaranteed, he got over $100 million. 4 year for $99,666,000. So yeah, he's damn near at $100 million himself. So I don't think he's broke. What's that?
That's what Draymond Green got, $100 million.
Yeah, just under $100 million. It's $99,666 and something else. So yeah,
that was
his 4 year contract for just about $100 million. So again, I don't think he's broke. But that said, like, broke is relative. Broke in NBA terms, I still don't think he's broke even in NBA players. But that's just, I mean, I think it's still relative. He said you're going to be broken in Sacramento. Basically, he's saying, like, yo, you out of here. And not only are you out of here, I'm part of the reason you out of here. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure Draymond is wrestling with that. Like, that's probably something he's, I mean, coming to grips with. Like, yeah, this is it for me. Like, this is the only team I've ever known and got four championships. Like, I mean, built my career here. Like, I know a lot of people suffer with that with going through change. So he probably is going through a lot having to deal with change. That said,
why
you grew up in locker rooms, you grew up on courts. Like, I'm pretty sure even though I'm talking about the girls coming in to the Michigan State gym to see you get your triple-doubles or your triple singles or your dribble handoffs, like, I don't think that shouldn't get you to swinging on somebody. Like, it was funny saying you're going to be broken in Sacramento I mean, if I made $100 million, I'm about to go get another contract to play somewhere else. Yeah, call me broke. But again, that's me. And, yeah, I don't think – I'm pretty sure Draymond Green has hurt a lot worse than that.
But maybe it hurt a little bit more because he loves Golden State so much. I don't know. You're right. Like, I think it's over-the-top reaction to say, damn, Carson Wentz just punished a kid. But it's the same thing I said about the Will Smith and Chris Rock situation. Jordan Poole, you can't talk shit about someone and then get mad at their reaction. The moment you invoke somebody else's name in your mouth, you got to accept whatever consequences come with that and be able to react to it.
Negate the fact that Jordan Poole pushed him first. Like, that's it. He pushed him first, and he got the reaction that came after that. That's it.
See, that's why I got to disagree with you, New York, because, yeah, he pushed him, but before that, you ain't going to walk up in my face and go face-to-face with me. Like, they was nose-to-nose, forehead-to-forehead. Like, yo, you got up in my face, so, yeah, somebody's backing up. Now, either I'm just going to back off myself or I'm going to push you off me. So if we saying the push started it, I'm going to go just one incident before. Like, nah, he walked up on me. He chest bumped me. Like, that's what started it. Physical stuff.
But the physical is just like that, right? If you woke up with somebody and you talking to, like, yeah, what you say, this, that, and the third, you walking them down and stuff like that. Nah, it's not physical. It is physical at that point. But at the end of the day, like, if we're not even throwing hands at that point, I'm going to be ready with my hands. But if you walking me down, we ain't like, y'all, me ain't shoulder to shoulder. Like, you walking me down like I'm some little man and stuff like that. No, I'm walking you right back down. We talking shit right there, right in each other's ear right there. Like, what you say? Nah. So if you want to do something, do something, do something, do something. Everybody went through that before. Do something, do something. But as soon as you push somebody off and actually get physical with somebody like that, like literally push him off like that, nah, you just put your hands on me. So these hands is going to fly. That's what it is. And I'm pretty sure if they was just in a talking shit manner, just like that, everybody been through that. Like, you know what I mean? It happens with sports people and everything like that. It always happens in practice. It always happens in practice and shit like that. Nah, you were walking down, they could have been just like swirling in a circle and stuff like that, talking shit in each other's ear. Like, nah. If you really about to do something, just like that. It could have stayed there. But as soon as Jordan Poole actually pushed him, that's when their hands flew. He was walking over there to talk shit to him. I could see the argument if he actually was walking over there and actually, like, squared up or actually was like, nah, I'm about to throw a punch or something like that. Nah, Jordan Poole pushed him. He got caught lacking. That's what it is. You play
so you
games,
think if Jordan Poole was going to push him, if Jordan Poole was going to push him, he should have just skipped that step and went straight to swinging as soon as Draymond went chest to chest with him?
No, I'm saying when Draymond went to get chest with chest with him, pause if necessary, he should have went back. Like, nah, Draymond was walking him down. He a bigger man. Nah, stand your ground. Plant your right foot in the ground and walk him back down and talk shit. But as soon as you like I say, Jordan Poole got emotional. He was dealing with a taller opponent, and he was getting walked down. He didn't appreciate that, so he pushed Draymond Green off of him, and he gave Draymond Green the momentum to hit him with the straight right and clocked him.
And somebody, see, this is what I think. And I got to think. I got to remember who said it first. I think it was the Acho dude. I can't know his full name from Fox Sports. Draymond was going to swing on Jordan Poole regardless. Like, when he said it, I didn't think about it, but the more I think about it, like, so if he walks up on Jordan Poole and Jordan Poole plants and they go chest to chest and they just talking, he's swinging on Jordan Poole right there. I don't think he was going to not swing on Jordan Poole one way or another. So, like, I'm just playing it out in my head, like, I walk up on you talking about say something, like, you this and you that, you got all these jokes, and, you know what I mean, they jawing back and forth. if Jordan Poole just puts his chin down and, you know what I mean, look at Draymond square, because Draymond is bigger, I think. Just look at that, even like Chet's like, yo, you ain't going to do shit. You're going to be broken in Sacramento, and they keep jawing. Draymond's going to swing on him. I don't think it took the push. The push was a good reason and an excuse to do it, but if Jordan Poole does anything other than walk away, Draymond was going to swing on him, and he was looking for a reason. He was waiting for the reason. He walked up on him hoping that he was going to do something, say something, press back, push him. He was going to swing on him. So if Jordan Poole does anything other than just walk away, be like, all right, man, you got it, and turn his back and walk away, he getting stole. And that's what happened. I mean, Jordan Poole, he took the bait and he pushed him, but I feel like in that situation, he was going to get stolen regardless. Because the way Draymond walked up on him, I don't think he was walking away without swinging.
You know, the bad thing is, like, what happened to the days where, like, Draymond Green could just tell Jordan Poole, like, don't make me find your mother and sleep with her. And that would have solved everything. You got to be able to talk trash back. You can't go swinging on people just for talking trash. Even though, again, I say, hey, once you invoke somebody else's name in your mouth, you got to accept the consequences. Draymond Green's got to have, like, this couldn't have been the first time he got these jokes. Right? But again, what I say, emotional men aren't good for the world. Draymond Green, not good for the world. Jordan Poole, not good for the world. Just proves my point.
I don't know. You could say Draymond Green didn't help his team get to 4 championships because he was emotional, playing with emotion or whatever. But, nah. Now, I mean, Draymond, I think this was definitely emotional for him. Like, I think he's definitely in his feelings. And I think he was right when he was saying, like, yeah, there's other stuff going on, because he know that shouldn't have got – whatever was said shouldn't have took him there. I feel like Jordan Poole probably been clowning him for a minute. I don't think this was, like, the first day. He's probably been on him for a little while. And he's probably like, yo, he keep going. Yeah, at some point, you're going to have to stop this person from clowning you. I mean, Draymond should have had a better way of doing it, but, I mean, punching somebody in the mouth usually stops the clowning, too. I mean, more than one way to skin a cat.
Okay. All right. New York, you got anything you want to discuss?
I kind of do, but I'm going to save it. Because I ain't got the – we can move on.
Okay. DJ Cesar, you got anything else? We only got about 15 minutes. Well, we got about 10 minutes.
No.
Anything exciting now? Blur, you got anything else you want to discuss?
Yo, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Did y'all see old boy got to pay, like, almost a billion dollars now? I'm losing the blank on his name.
Crazy. Alex Jones.
Yeah. Yo, this is when talk, like Jordan Poole, this is when talking too much just fucks you up. Like, yo, you were doing all that talking, and now these people done got you for over a billy. And more to come. Yo, this is sad. I ain't going to say it's sad. It's funny. Because
Is this like an old situation where, like, OJ owes, speaking of Jewish people, the Goldstein's money? Oh, no, it wasn't the Goldstein. It was the Browns, right? And who's the family? Anna Nicole Smith Brown. What was her name? Who was the OJ? Who did OJ kill? Nicole Sampson?
Nicole Brown Simpson? Okay.
There you go. I'm sorry, Jewish people. She might not be Jewish at all.
No, and then Cato.
It was like the Goldstein family or something. Was it Cato's wife? Cato, the bodyguard?
No, he was just
the pool boy?
Yeah, the person living in the pool house.
They say that, like, you know, OJ lost all this money and, you know, he can't make another dollar because he lost that big civil suit. But they say OJ, you know, lives in Florida. Big house and golfs every day. Like, as long as he doesn't make money publicly, like, they can't do anything. So is this one of the Malik Jones things where, like, as long as he doesn't make money publicly, he'll still be okay?
Well, the difference is that OJ already had his money, and they already got money from him. And, I mean, Alex Jones already has money, too, but he was making money. And they got Alex Jones money. They found, well, I don't say they found, but they saw, like, they see him trying to hide his money. So OJ's not trying to make no more money. I mean, I'm pretty sure whatever he got, he's going to have to live off of. Like, he ain't out there trying to make money. He's been in retirement. He's good. Alex Jones wasn't retired. This dude was making, like, $1 billion a year or something like that, or close to it. So I don't think he was planning on stopping that. He wasn't trying to cancel his show. He was trying out there still trying to get it. He was still getting to the money. I don't think OJ worried about getting to the money. OJ, all he wants to do is sit around and play golf and live off whatever he can live off of.
You said Alex Jones was making $1 billion a year?
Or something close to it. Like, they did, like, an accounting in, like, the first trial or the second trial, the one he was actually at. They were looking through his books, and they were accounting. Now, it depends on, again, who you ask. The lawyers for the family, they were like, yo, from, like, the InfoWars stuff, the advertisements, and then, like, he sells, like, oils, and he got a meat company where he sells beef and everything like that. Like, yeah, he was bringing in close to $1 billion a year, they said.
You're not telling me Alex Jones makes a billionaire by selling knives door to door. You ain't telling me he just got some oil.
I mean, not knives, but like he has a beef company where he sells like beef, and not door to door, but you know you order it from him, and then he got like some oils and stuff and some like vitamins. He sells vitamins, like all the things that's not regulated. He sells.
He's the Herbalife.
Herbalife, Nani juice, and
experiment. He said, "Who's the meat man that used to drive around with the meat?"
Watson man.
That's what Alex Jones got all the scams.
He must be at the top of all.
Yes. Yo, but if you're telling me,
hey, if you got the clientele, like he got people listening. Hey, if you got all these eyes on you, you better try and sell them something. And he got whatever you watching for. I got something to sell you.
I ain't mad at him. But if he – why? Because he's an idiot? He's an idiot. He thinks kids didn't die. Like, at that point, you got the – like, we know something's wrong with you, right? Like, we should understand that. But if he makes $1 billion a year and only has to pay out $1 billion, then that's not a big settlement, right?
Well, you let him tell it, he don't make $1 billion a year. He don't make nowhere near that. He said – anything over $2 million would bankrupt him.
Good.
Yeah, that's what he said. And again, this is only the second, or this was the third trial. This is like $1 billion from this one. It was like $500 million from the other one, the second one. It was something in the first one, and he has other trials coming. So that's going to start to add up.
Oh,
and I don't know exactly how long he was making close to $1 billion a year, but he was making close to it because I think there was like, they did over the span, and he was like, yo, those were – y'all talking about just my best numbers ever, my best years ever. He's like, hey, that's the numbers we working with.
Yo, you could make $1 billion cleaning tables.
Crazy.
I might take that chance. Because if I do it against black people, like, the black people ain't going to send me. Don't black kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
White Lives Matter. No.
But if you do it against black people, you probably ain't going to get the audience.
They ain't buying the oil. Well, they do buy oil.
I was just trying to tie it all together.
They ain't going to buy no knives.
Yeah, I can't believe Alex Jones made $1 billion selling knives door to door and driving around in a meat van.
No.
That's amazing. All right, man. Yeah, so that's crazy. I mean, Bart, did you have a question with any of that? Did you just want to just bring it up? That's crazy, though.
Yeah, I was just bringing it up, man. I just think it's crazy. Like, I cannot imagine. And the funny thing is, because just anybody being awarded that amount of money, like, and it's not even nothing. I don't say it's not nothing he did, because you know, I mean, he put the battery in the back of the people who were harassing these families, but. Like, yo, I'm mad at my people who watch it. Like, I'm mad at everybody who watch it. Like, y'all see what y'all did? I'm acting like Day-Day the Craig, man. You play too much. You ain't got to be around. I got to live with them. Like, it's like, yo, y'all over here harassing these people, And now, look, I'm out billions of dollars because y'all harassing people. Y'all could have just listened to the show and just sit there and be quiet. Nah, y'all got to go out there and harass people. Now, I'm hot. I am hot. If that's – now, again, he did it to himself, but still, I'm hot.
He knew these people were harassing it, and he kept saying it. He kept doing it because that's how he was getting his money. So he ain't innocent. You know, he knew what was going on, and he encouraged it.
There's a good podcast about this where, you know, they were talking about the kids from Sandy Hook and how Alex Jones was. It was on NPR. How Alex Jones was, you know, getting these people riled up. And, oh, did I talk about it on here? And where the guy walked in the bar and was like, and Sandy Hook was on. And he's like, yeah, man, they're all fakers. And the dude was like, no, motherfucker, I lost my kid. And he was like, well, you're a liar, too. And then, like, he started, like, searching on the internet for all these people, like, ruining lives. It's pretty crazy. But, yeah, man, Alex Jones about to pay the man, yo. That's the way. You know, if – I guess it's not taxpayer money. Like, who's paying this $1 billion? I guess Alex Jones has to. That shit's crazy. Yeah. But we got to end up, man. We got to close out tonight. It's been a good show. It's been – feels good to be back home on my couch with my girl and relaxing, man. I miss y'all. It's been a good show. Y'all have a good weekend. Try not to get around any emotional men. DJ Society, you got a thing to say to the people before we roll?
Good night.
So thoughtful. Blur, what you got?
Yo. If I'm due over Amazon Jeff Bezos, I am hot at the NFL. Y'all keep giving me trash-ass games for Thursday Night Football. I hope he got something in the contract where he gets some money back based off of ratings. Like, you know, I paid all this money to air y'all shit. Y'all better give me some better matchups because the Chicago Bears is trash. But outside of football, though.
Did you see the kid try to catch the punt and collapse on nothing?
Yeah, that was crazy.
You got to be a better athlete. And it's crazy to say that about a professional athlete.
I mean, people get it how they get it. I'm assuming, you know what I mean, they trick the system or, you know, yeah, you juice at the right time, get the right streak, and then, you know, you just go from there. Like the dude Dominique Foxworth said he ran a 4.4 one time. It just happened to be at the combine, and he was a 4.4 guy ever since. He said he's only ran it one time in his life, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, we got to talk about Deion Sanders and Eddie Robinson getting into it. Deion Sanders ain't swack. We got to talk about this kid, Brian Robinson, from the Redskins, who got shot in a carjacking and got shot twice and came back to playing football. He came out to the music Many Men from 50 Cent. And I was like, yeah, like it's a hot entrance, but like it sounds like you might need to stay away from it.
Yeah, you might need some little more help.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week, though. New York, man, close this out, bro.
Look, I'm going to say this. I mean, if you push somebody off of you, you better be ready to square up. Your hands can't be down. You got to be ready at all times. Don't just push somebody off of you and your hands are still by your side, yo, because that's a rocking for you. It's good night, Irene, for you after that. You seen that with Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole went good night, Irene. Yeah, I mean, if that hurt his pride and stuff like that, it is what it is. You got to take accountability for it. Y'all don't want no sob story for that or nothing. Yeah, I mean, you got to take accountability for it. Other than that, I don't understand why superheroes wear capes. Like, what actually, like, what is the thought process going to your head? Oh, I'm going to tie a blanket around my neck. And then I'm going to fight super crime. Like, what if somebody drag you by your blanket on the back of your neck? What you going to do? What you going to do when they drag you through the streets? Nah, I can't get with the superheroes wearing capes, yo. That's a whole blanket. That's a whole kilt on the back of your neck. Like, nah, we not doing that. Other than that, you know what I mean, stay safe, stay blessed, drink water, be healthy, eat your vegetables, pay attention to the food pyramid. and all that. Other than that, we out.
Well, the first superhero was Superman, and the reason why he wore a cape because it was to represent the American flag.
Well, Supergirl tells us it's for aerodynamic, for, like, the flying superheroes, like, to make turns and everything. The cape, like, creates control, but, I mean, who knows?
Cool. You think they look cool? Hey. Is that anti-Semitic?
No, they're Muslim. They're not Jewish.
I want to.